I'm here with Carolyn Johnson. My name is Anna Kios, and today's date is Thursday, February 28th, 2013. We are in San Jose, California, at the Fairmont Hotel for the MLA 2013 conference. And we are doing an oral history interview for NEMLA. Okay, so we're going to get started. And my first question is, how did you become involved with NEMLA?
I moved to Connecticut in 1985, in the summer of 85, to work at Connecticut College. Mm-hmm. And I had been a member of a chapter in upstate New York, where Ithaca was, Ithaca College, and a longtime member of MLA. So when I moved to New England, I knew I had to, at some point, find out something about the local chapter and join that. So that's what happened. At some point, I don't remember the exact date. I know it's sometime between 1985 and 1987. Somewhere in there, I joined NEMLA.
Great. And do you want to tell us a little bit about some of the positions you've served on, whether as officer or committee or just as a, you know, just a member that you've enjoyed?
In NEMLA, around 1993, actually, I was elected as, I was going to become chairperson, mm-hmm. so it was that pre-position mm-hmm. where you become chair of the program mm-hmm. committee.
Right.
and then that was followed by become chairperson, and then past chair.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I most often served on the Bibliographic Instruction Committee. Sometimes it was called Bibliographic Instruction and Reference Committee. At one point it was a committee, another time it became a roundtable, then it went back to being a committee. I actually co-chaired that for a while. I think that was 1995-ish in there. Let me see. 2000, actually. 2000 with Tracy Rudnick.
Oh, great.
And then eventually I just moved into just being a member. And now I'm not on it right now. I took a break.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've done mostly with NEMLA. That's a particular area of interest of mine, bibliographic instruction and, of course, reference. I've attended other roundtable meetings or other committee meetings, but mostly my focus has been on information literacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So the next question I have is, what effect do you feel NEMLA has had on your career?
I think it's been a very positive one. I think most of us know that we're expected to be involved in an association in our profession. It's important to do that. And I think nationally, when you get involved with a national organization, it's so big. And that's also important. But to serve on a more local level where you're closer to the people, I think there's a little bit more networking that goes on. You can pick up the phone and call somebody in New England and they'll give you advice or help. Now email, we don't pick up the phone anymore. And I think over the years, my sharing with others and others sharing with me has helped me become a better music librarian. Just feeling that there's always somebody out there who mm-hmm. you can call on to say, help!
Yeah.
And that's been important. And just being involved and being able to grow as a music librarian and not to stagnate, just going to work and not doing anything else except that. So NEMLA has been very important in that area for me.
That's great. Do you want to share anything about friendships or, you know, just relationships that have developed because of NEMLA?
Oh, I think two friendships stand out in my mind. They were with Dorothy Bogner and Suzanne Risley. Suzanne had been the music librarian at Trinity College, and Dorothy, of course, was at UConn. Somehow the three of us hit it off when I joined NEMLA, I got to meet them, and we just became very good friends. Not that I saw them that often, but we just had a rapport, I think. And to the point where when we went to MLA, we shared a room, the three of us, and we tried to go out to lunches and things like that. Now, both of them have left the profession of music librarianship. Dorothy retired from UConn and is doing other things. Suzanne is actually the librarian at Mitchell College in New London. When she left Trinity, she left to become the librarian at a public library. Where was that? Haddam, I think. And from there, she moved to Mitchell College, and she's still there. She keeps her hand in music there by helping with collection development and so on. But I've never formed a friendship with anybody else as close as those two. However, I have a lot of acquaintances that I really enjoy seeing every meeting. Pat is one, Pat Fiskin. We laugh a lot. And I've enjoyed getting to know some of the up-and-coming younger members of NEMLA. I don't know them very well, but that's natural. That's the order of things. But yeah, Suzanne and Dorothy are special.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Well, another question I have is whether there are, you know, one or more meetings in NEMLA that you've attended that really stick out to you, you know, for various reasons.
Oh, gosh. Ready for my list. There were several, mostly for good reasons. Mm-hmm. I'll get the bad one out of the way. Actually, when I was elected as vice chair, I had to plan programs. And the very first one I had to plan was at a place that I won't even mention it where it was. Anyone listening to this who was there will know what I'm talking about. We were sent the wrong map for directions to where the meeting was going to be located. On top of that, I wasn't really all that aware of how far away this place was. So it took me longer to get there than I expected, but I did get there. And then I realized there's something wrong with this parking lot. It's not anywhere near where the meeting is supposed to be. And we checked with a building. Somebody made phone calls, and it turned out the meeting was supposed to be in another part of this campus. And so I had people stationed in the parking lot as soon as cars started arriving, sending them to a new location. And it was kind of a traumatic experience. We decided to start late on purpose to give people a chance to get there and settle in. And once everyone kind of calmed down, it turned out the sessions were very good, and I was very pleased with that, at least. And then I had to leave early because I had to play for a wedding that night. And I arrived back at the church with 5 minutes to spare. So it was quite an interesting day. Luckily, subsequent meetings that I planned went okay. And we had the correct directions, mm-hmm. which make all the difference in the world. I also pointed out how people who do programs, I have such respect for them, because the smallest little thing that you don't even suspect can suddenly turn into a major disaster. Luckily, we salvaged it, and now we can kind of look back and chuckle on it. But at the time, I wasn't a happy camper, so that was one. However, there were so many that I really enjoyed. There was a meeting at Smith, and Marlene Wong was the host site, the library, and she had a flamenco dancer come in, and we were all up on stage learning how to do flamenco. And that was a lot of fun. The McDowell Colony, when we visited there, I had heard about it. I had no idea where it was, although I have vacationed in New Hampshire, not far from there, for many years. I really didn't know where the colony was. And to be given the opportunity to go there and see it and meet and then walk through the woods and see all the little cottages where the artists stay, it was just wonderful, especially at the time of year we went. I think it was fall. And that was then followed also, not followed chronologically, but one of my favorites was the meeting in Norfolk, Connecticut, when we visited the Steckel Estate and learned about the Battelle family. And just the setting was so beautiful. We were there. And I think you can have a great program. You can be, that's why you go for the programs. But when you combine a great program with an absolutely beautiful location, it makes the whole experience much more meaningful. Where you go home, just feel like that was so great. So those were a couple of my really favorite ones. I think that how could I forget? Breadloaf. We were at Middlebury College, and this was the first meeting I had ever been to at Middlebury. But we didn't stay anywhere in the town of Middlebury. We went out to the Breadloaf campus, stayed in a rustic building, and every time we had to go for a meeting, mostly we had to drive into town on a pretty windy road up into the down a mountain and then back up a mountain. But it was, again, so beautiful. And then they had contra dancing that night. And, you know, I was trying to remember, that might have been a joint meeting with one of the New York chapters.
I think so.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. But it was such a special location. There again, you know, location, but the sessions were also great. So I think people really enjoyed that particular meeting. I could go on and on. I had so many, but I think those probably top my list. I think that pretty much covers my top favorites, but that's not to say the others weren't great and interesting. Mm-hmm. But those are the ones that stand out in my mind after all these years, including the disastrous one.
That's great. Okay. Okay. Well, another question I have is, how have you seen NEMLA change over the years? And, you know, anything that stands out that you feel, you know, is a positive thing or a negative thing? And
that's a hard one, because I think in an organization like NEMLA, you're not going to see drastic changes. Mm-hmm. There have been changes in bylaws, so maybe mm-hmm. some terms of appointment to committees and so on. Mm-hmm. Those have changed. It used to be unlimited, and then we put some term limits on chairs of committees. You've seen committees turn to roundtables and roundtables back to committees, mm-hmm. things like that. But all in all, I think NEMLA has continued over the years to be just a great body of people who make strategic changes as needed, but the main structure is still there. And I think we've followed the same meeting format for many years, where we meet in the fall and meet in the spring, and the spring meeting is usually the business meeting. That hasn't really changed. So I can't think of anything drastic I've seen change, but I am concerned, you know, as we go into this future, as we're talking about it, this MLA meeting, about where music librarianship is going. The one thing I have seen, some librarians that were in NEMLA, their jobs over time have gone away, I think especially in the public library sector. So it makes you a little apprehensive for the future of music librarianship and how that's going to affect organizations such as MLA and the local chapters, because I think that's where it may be felt immediately. But I think as long as we can advocate for what we do and find ways to bring it into where our library directors want us to go, I think NEMLA will be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you. Those were the questions that I had prepared. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with me?
It was very funny because in preparing for this, I keep newsletters. I don't know why I do, but I do. So my earliest newsletter goes back to March 1987. And I was just going through them, trying to jog my memory over the years and I looked at the people who were involved in NEMLA when I first came, or at least the newsletter represents something. And the newsletter editor, the secretary treasurer, and the chairperson are all either retired or moved on to other positions. But then as I move through, I see this growing body of names that I recognize year after year after year. It's really wonderful. I think that if I had anything else to say, Newport. I got myself involved with the local arrangements committee for MLA Newport, and Ned Quist was head of that local arrangements committee. And that drew in NEMLA members, not just from Rhode Island, but volunteers for around the local states around who could help him and help with that. And that was, I think, some of the most fun I had. Of course, he had all the responsibility as chair. But we looked at sites. I was involved with looking at possible sites other than Newport. Newport was one of the suggested sites. We looked at Hartford, Connecticut. I think Portland, Maine was looked at as a possible site for an MLA meeting. And ultimately, it came down to Newport. But we really had, I think, some fun times putting that meeting together and helping with everything. So that was probably a big highlight as part of my life with NEMLA. Mm-hmm. So now, kind of as I said before, watching new people come up, and that's exciting. See where it goes.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing those memories.
You're welcome.